And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you fart, admit it. In the bank, because it causes so much trouble.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, May 13th. Skeleton crew this morning. Trey's dentist appointment is running long, so he likely won't be joining us. I guess dentist A-Rod takes his time at the plate and at the teeth, but that's okay. No rush at the dentist. I'm still Jay Skeets, along with the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends, still pluralized. Still pluralized. There's two of you there. So.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yes, we got the man, the myth, the legend. Making the magic happen is JD.
Lee, I'm going to have to give you a verbal warning for being out of uniform this morning.
Yeah. Come on, Lee. You didn't get the memo?
Well, I mean, you know.
Close enough. Close enough.
Yes. JD and I rocking the No Dunks crew necks, but it's okay. Lee's got the No Dunks sort of We Believe warrior shirt there. Go to nodunks.com. Get your No Dunks merch right now. Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on a Thursday. We see you on YouTube. Please like, please comment, please subscribe if you haven't already. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or you can tweet them in, @nodunksinc. Lee is laughing because, well, we hit the beach yesterday, and holy shit, was that an episode. Again, just go listen to it, or you know what, don't, because it was pure insanity right from the jump. Two minutes in, it was off the rails. Never got back on the track, but it's okay. That happens from time to time. I still can't shake the visual of Lee Ellis an hour outside of Melbourne, of Sunbury, mounting a trash can like the Lee piece style, taking a piss, and ending up in court because of it.
Well, look, these stories don't need embellishment, okay? I mean, they're bad enough it is. So, you know, to throw the leapy element in, it's not really necessary, but sure, why not? The stories over time always, of course, add an extra layer here and there, so I'm fine with it. $350 bucks. I'm still a bit salty over that.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So, yeah, we talked about court stories, and I couldn't remember what you call those things that have food in them. You know, the trucks. What else? I mean, look, just go. It was crazy. Lee was taking Jim Beam deliveries during the show. He's got it there. He's ready for happy hour tonight. And we want you all to join us tonight. We'll share some more stories. We'll have some more larfs. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube here. It's the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive. First time we've ever tried this. Going to be raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Our fundraising goal, I'm just going to tell all of y'all right now, we want to hit $2,601 tonight, because that would be one more dollar than WWE superstar Xavier Woods, who I guess did $2,600 once. Yeah. I have a theory: if we beat him by $1, he has to give us like one of his championship belts. that would be great. So yeah, join us tonight, all for a good cause. We have a blast every happy hour as it is. Fun gets underway at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Bring your coins. And I know some people have been saying, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. Can I still donate? Yes, you can. There is a link. We'll tweet that out. We'll drop it in the YouTube comments. And you guys can help us out there. I'd like to think with the No Dunks Army that we can smash 2,600 in one night. But we'll see. You'll see. You know, times are tough for everybody out there at this point. So, but if you can throw in $5-$10, if you've enjoyed the show over this season and help us out, that would be awesome. So that's tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. On today's show here, I promised it. I'm going to count down my All-NBA 10 teams. Yeah. All-NBA first, second, and third teams, they get all the love. What about the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, and tenth teams? And then we'll get to some snubs as well. This started as a joke, but I'm going to do it here on the show.
I'm starting to think Trey's dentist appointment was pretty coincidental on the day that you're going to release.
No, you saw him in the Slack. TK, he didn't want to miss this. He was asking us to bump the show back. He's like, I got to hear your sicko teams. I'm like, I know, man. Don't worry. I'll tweet him out. You can just go back and watch and listen to the show.
He's sitting in that chair right now. He's like, get out of the way, A-Rod. I can't see the screen.
Yeah, you're right. Shout out to dentist A-Rod. Maybe he's like peering in right now, watching as TK's got his phone open. But we'll get to the games and the big news from yesterday first. Lele, we'll fly through these as we get closer and closer to wrapping up the regular season. First one, though, we had the Knicks and the Hawks. Ka-ka! Punching their playoff tickets. They are officially in the playoffs. And my question is, the Knicks didn't play last night. Hawks got another close victory over the Wizards. Which team has surprised you more this season? Is it the Knicks being where they are at right now, or the Hawks, especially after the slow start and the firing of Coach Pierce and bringing in Nate McMillan? Like, which one do you go with? I think this is a tough question.
It is a pretty tough question, because I think they've both played above their heads, really, in a lot of ways, and to be in this position. I'm going to take the Knicks because things tend to always backfire and fall apart, and that just hasn't happened. In fact, as the season's gone on, I think you can say the Knicks have gotten more impressive. Coach Thibodeau, we know he can have an immediate impact on teams. Down the road, that may sort of grate some of the players, but for this season, it's been very effective. Their defense has been great, and he's turned Julius Randle, it's obviously the player takes most of the credit for this one, but he's got him playing at an incredible level, where I think he's virtually a lock for an All-NBA slot himself. There's, you know, a little bit of buzz about MVP talking.
Spoiler, Julius Randle will be on one of my 10 All-NBA teams.
I hope he makes at least one of those, But, you know, and then you look at the growth of someone like RJ Barrett. I think he's been outstanding this season. And they've been doing it all for most of the season without Mitchell Robinson, who I think is a very important part of their team going forward. So there's so many great stories there for the Knicks. They've been in so many other close games as well. They've battled. I really can't remember a patch at all of this season where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, here go the Knicks again. You know, in 8 or 10 games, they just stink it up and don't play. But instead, they're playing defense. They've got that star quality up front in Julius Randle, and they've got so many other contributors. And then someone like the rookie Emmanuel Quickley, I think he's been really good for them. So considering what happens usually in New York over these last, you know, 5, 10 years, even longer if you want, I would say the fact that they're in the playoffs, I just really hope we get Knicks Hawks in that first round. I think we deserve that one because, you know, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, it sort of maybe will be the Heat in that fourth or fifth spot. But the Hawks have been incredible, especially since Nate McMillan came along. Their season was going to waste again, but instead he's turned them around and got them into the playoffs. So I think you can pretty much say both teams have outperformed their expectations. But I'll go with the Knicks just because, you know, we know that usually at some point things go completely awry for the Knicks, and it hasn't happened this season.
Yeah, it was, it was almost shocking last night on Twitter, seeing Knicks fans rejoicing so much, like celebrating. Like, I was happy for them. Like, don't get me wrong, but it was like, oh yeah, there are a lot of diehard Knicks fans who have had some, of course, rough years over the past couple decades. And here they are with a team that's fun to root for. There it is, Lele. and, you know, they obviously play their asses off for Tibbs. They've done it defensively. And you're right. I remember all season long, because remember those crazy numbers going around with the Knicks, like the opponent's three-point percentage against them. And it was just like ridiculously low for a good chunk of it, and everyone's like, oh, that's gonna bounce back, you know, at some point. Yeah, it's a little bit of the defense, you can credit out the closeouts and stuff like that, but some of these teams are just missing. But it really hasn't like rebounded all that much, and that's these guys fly around, they've got each other's back out there, and they are making it difficult for the other team to score against them. So you could go with either. I just wanted to throw that one at you. I like the Knicks one as well. The Hawks, remember, coming into the season we were like, the Hawks could be a top 5-6 team. Like, look at their roster. Like, the moves they had made. Obviously, Capella was going to start playing. You've got stars in Trey and John. The Bogdanovich, getting him was huge. They just had, like, what appeared, again, on paper to have, like, two teams. They had so many guys. Gallinari, it goes on and on and on. And then they started, like, really, really quickly hot, and then they fell apart. And a big part of it was injuries. And then I guess, you know, Pierce did lose the locker room, or he lost the confidence of his star players, at least. And then the switch up with Nate McMillan, like you said, just turned it around. So let's hear from you guys in the stream team. There really is no wrong answer to that one. But congrats to the Knicks and Hawks fans. It's been a while for the Knicks. What, 2012-13 season? Hawks haven't been there since Trae Young's been around. So it's like the 2017 season, the last time we saw them. So it'll be cool to have him in here. All right, our next game, though. James Harden, 18 points, 11 assists. He's back for the Brooklyn Nets. Of course, Kyrie wasn't playing. Can't ever have all three of them playing. You know, it's the universe will not allow it. But what did you think we saw, or what did you take away from Harden's return there last night? It'd been a while. Longest layoff of his career.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But there he was out there with the 18 and 11 in a win. What'd you think?
It looked incredible, honestly, to come off the bench like that and both post nearly a triple-double and to just pick up where he had left off when he was playing there for the Nets was remarkable. Against a good team, the Spurs, you know they're always going to be tough. But he came off the bench, and I wonder, because remember when Kevin Durant first came back, he came off the bench. So I wonder if that sort of maybe was like the set the tone for someone like James Harden to be like, all right, it's fine, I can come off the bench and get into my flow that way. Because honestly, it did not look like this guy had missed a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. It looked like maybe he'd been off for a game or two. He was so fresh and so ready to play out there again. And yeah, I mean, ominous signs for every other team in the Eastern Conference because, again, you mentioned no Kyrie Irving. So when they get all those three guys there, it just feels like so many guys can score, first of all, in the big three there. And then you've got your guys like Joe Harris on the sideline who can hit those threes and everything. So, yeah, this one, you know, he's coming back just at the right time to get a couple of games under his belt before the playoffs start. And if he's healthy and if Kyrie is back, the Nets are going to win the Eastern Conference if they're all healthy. They're just too good, I just think. And, you know, that was a good win last night. Super impressive. James Harden this season, I mean, he's had an incredible season because he powdered his way out of Houston, looked out of shape, looked like he didn't care. Basically flipped the switch as soon as he put on that Nets uniform, played to a level where it was like he can't win MVP, to the point where it was like he's almost like second favorite at one point there to win MVP. Gets this hamstring injury and it's like maybe that'll slow him down. Took a bit longer, I think, to get back than they originally planned for. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think the same thing with Kevin Durant is they took the right approach by maybe extending that absence a little bit longer just to make sure they were 100% when they came back. Because that was like when Kevin Durant came back. It was like, oh my God, it doesn't look like he's missed any time. So he was clearly ready to go and put on an incredible performance again last night.
The Nets are still within striking distance of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I don't think they really care, but Philly, they're in the driver's seat still. They're a game and a half up with not many games left here if you're keeping track. I mean, most teams have like two, maybe three games left over the final, I believe, four nights here of the regular season. So it's very, very likely the Sixers are going to have the number one seed, but the Nets will probably hold on to number two, and that's fine. Man, does anyone throw like a pocket pass on like a pick and roll sexier than James Harden? I mean, it is. It's fundamental. It's very solidly, but it's also got some sex appeal to it. Like, seriously, he did it time and time again.
Yeah,
with like Claxton or Jeff Green. And this is a guy who had missed like 18 games. And you're right. Like, looked like he hadn't missed a beat. In fact, he was asked about it after the game. He says, quote, James Harden here, not to like brag or anything, but I'm like really, really good at this game. Wow. That's a great quote.
Why does he need to preface it with not to brag? Just brag. You are bragging.
I'm really good at this game. Yeah. Not to like brag or anything, but like I'm really, really good at podcasting.
Yeah.
I've done a lot.
Well, look, I you're probably going to shout Homer at me, but the Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert one is just as effective out there. That's in Utah.
Nice.
I mean, they hit that. Honestly, it feels like 90% of the time they make a score off a pick and roll there. But the point being, yes, James Harden, you know, again, with new teammates to an extent, but it certainly didn't look like that last night. It looked like he was so comfortable getting back into his rhythm. And again, I just feel that if you are the Sixers, you are like, please, we've got to hang on to this number one spot so that,
yeah,
you know, best case scenario, I think, is that they obviously hope that the Bucks and the Nets go to seven games in that second round so that, assuming the Sixers advance, they're going to face one of those teams that's had a tough series. But man, what an incredible season it's been for James Harden. And, you know, they just look ready and they look like they're just going to be too hard for anyone to really beat in seven games.
Yeah, and then again, even last night, it wasn't all that close, but like Harden just saved it until like the final 3 or 4 minutes to start scoring, to like really aggressively like, no, all right, I'll just be the closer here. I'm the Tom Hankey of this group.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. Like Kyrie, And KD, like, they'll just do a bulk of the scoring for the most part, and Harden will just set up guys left and right. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll just I'll score, you know, 7-8 of our final 10 here and just close the game. That's like, oh my God, yeah. That $100 is like, ooh, I can feel it like leaving my hand. Maybe I can convince Tass tonight to give it to St. Jude instead. Yeah. Ooh, that's a smooth move. I'll pull that out. Yeah, there it is. There's Money Millis. Okay. So yeah, Harden looking good in the return. Good news with Kyrie. It's not a concussion. He got popped in the face. I don't know if you saw that elbow. So that's maybe good. Will we get masked Kyrie back in our lives? The Nets already have a mask. Doesn't Bruce Brown have a mask on?
Oh,
right
yeah,
now?
He was, yeah.
It'd be weird to have two guys out there with the mask on. But we've seen masked Kyrie do some special things before. That's not good for the rest of the league.
No, no.
If he throws
although
on
he's
that.
not allowed to wear the black one.
The black one.
Though,
one.
So
it's stupid.
I know.
The dumbest rule they've got in the NBA.
I know. It's so dorky, the clear one. If you're going to wear a mask, make it look cool, because LeBron looked awesome in his. I think Kobe had one too there for a while, and Kyrie, I remember, it gave them special powers. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's some sort of performance enhancer.
Yeah, it's like when you got to wear the dorky white one, one. It takes down your powers a little bit. No, it worked for Rip Hamilton. He's the one guy that actually pulled it off all right. Maybe that's just because he always was wearing it. But for some reason, it worked on him. A lot of the other guys, you're right, it doesn't work that well. Come on, let them wear the black mask. Come on. All right, next game here. Or at least next sort of storyline from last night. We had the Mavs, the Blazers, and the Lakers all winning lately to stay put at 5-6-7. Not in that order. Blazers 5, Mavs 6, Lakers 7. I think I have that right. But do you think that's how it's going to finish here? In that order where the Blazers keep the fifth seed, Mavs stay 6, and then the Lakers stay in the play-in. What do you think?
I mean, the Rockets, man. Kyle Kuzma saved the Lakers there late because no Anthony Davis. Schroeder's still out as well. And I guess the Lakers just thought it's the Rockets. We're going to win no matter who we put on the floor.
So, hey, LeBron, don't worry about it.
Nearly backfired on them. And I think, you know, the Mavs and the Blazers would have been definitely pulling for the Rockets just to make that gap a little bit bigger there. But anyway, it didn't. The Lakers win that game. But then the Blazers got a very impressive victory in Utah. Now, no Donovan Mitchell and no Mike Conley still for the Jazz, so a little bit shorthanded. But they certainly, everyone else played and they were trying to win that game. So it was a tough victory there for the Blazers. I thought Carmelo was fantastic for them as well, giving them some that pop off the bench. So that was huge. And then the Mavs, they pretty much blew out the Pelicans. I mean, this one was a bit of a stinker. Luka looked great. And Porzingis early on, he was looking so good for them. You know, and that, again, the Mavericks, I think so much of their pendulum swings on just whether or not Porzingis is going to play and if he's going to be healthy, because they just need that extra offense from him. You know, Tim Hardaway, of course, was there giving them some support. But Porzingis is, you know, supposedly their second star player. They need him out there. And you can just see how important he is to them. So it's tough because I know that the Blazers still, I think, have the
let me throw it up here for
Nuggets and Suns, I think it is. Yeah.
Take a look at it, Lily.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's so close. I mean, I think the Lakers, they could just steal that sixth spot off the Mavericks, but the Blazers could hang on. But the Blazers, as I say, Nuggets and Suns to go. Now, who's going to rest players? What's going to happen? It's, you know, I don't know.
It's like just hearing your brain working out loud right now.
I just have a feeling the Lakers are going to escape the play-in tournament. I just have a feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, they will not be escaping if the Mavericks and Blazers can win outright here.
Yeah.
Like, if they just don't lose their games, then this is the way it stands.
But I think when we were talking the other day that the Lakers have the easiest schedule. They've got the Pacers here coming up, and then it's in Indiana. I mean, Indiana,
They're playing for an eighth seed. Yeah.
And then they're at New Orleans on the last day of the season. So you would think LeBron, if they have to win that game, you would think LeBron is probably going to come back for that. I know he's kind of extended the delay here.
So basically you think the Blazers or Mavericks, though, are going to drop a game here. And I know they don't have the easiest of schedules, at least the Blazers don't. So
The Mavericks have got the Raptors. And the Raptors are out. And then they've got the Timberwolves. So what do the Wolves do in terms of like, okay, we do want to maybe just drop a game here to help their playoff, draft chances. So there's so many different scenarios in play here, but it just feels like the Lakers are going to somehow escape the play-in tournament and it's going to be one of those other teams. But incredible stuff last night, really, again, from Portland going to Utah to get that victory. I mentioned a little shorthanded, but still, they had to win that game. This was not like the Jazz just kind of mailed it in or anything like that.
The Blazers are the hottest team in the league right now. think they've won 9 of their last 10, which sort of snuck up on me that they've put together this run. But they're playing great basketball at the right time here, of course, as we get closer and closer. I'm thinking the Lakers are going to stay in the 7th spot here because I got some confidence, I guess, in Portland to win outright, even though I think they have I don't have it in front of me. I know the Suns is one of the game.
Yeah.
And then they have another tough
Denver.
Opponent.
I'm pretty sure it's Denver.
Yeah, that's right. But I'd liken them because those other teams, you know, of course they're still jockeying, but at some point the Suns are going to be locked into the second seed and, you know, the Nuggets might be ended up, they got home court advantage. They know that much. So it's going to be 3 or 4. Anyway, the point is, or the question is, I saw this on ESPN, fact or fictionally, the Lakers should be favored in a first round playoff series no matter where they finish. Will that be the case? Or is there a matchup that you could see hypothetically that you say, no, they wouldn't be the favorite in that series? Like maybe the Clippers or something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's assume that Conley and Donovan Mitchell are both out for that first round series.
Whoa.
Just for the point of this here. Because if they're both out, then and LeBron and Anthony Davis are in, then I think the Lakers probably do become favorite in that series because we simply know that, you know, it doesn't matter for the Lakers.
Okay,
LeBron.
What about a more likely Suns-Lakers matchup, 2-7, let's say, and Phoenix fully healthy? Who's the favorite in that series?
I would probably take the Lakers,
I think most
because,
people will.
Yeah, because I think that, and you've seen the Suns in these last couple of games against the Jazz and against the Warriors, teams that are playing to win something. And they've lost both of those games. Now, I mentioned yesterday, I think if the Suns can sort of learn from those losses and understand, hey, this is what it's going to be like every single night in the playoffs, then maybe it's good for them in that sense. But it's very hard to pick, even though they've obviously got Chris Paul, very hard to pick against LeBron in a first-round series just because it's 2-7. It makes no difference to me. It's like it's LeBron, it's the Lakers. You know he's getting a split at minimum in that first first two games. It's just, I would put my life on that happening. And then,
so you're saying if the Lakers play the Suns 2-7 matchup, you'd bet the house on the Lakers at least splitting the first two games in Phoenix?
Yeah, LeBron, remember, had some crazy record, like 29 straight series in a row where he won a road game, you know he was able to do that, and you just know it's in the playoffs, that's what it's about. And then immediately that puts so much more pressure on the Suns to go and then have to split in LA, which they could do, but it just that's the sort of scenario that really plays into LeBron's hands, where it's like, yep, I'm going to steal home court and then we're going to go home and put all that that team that is inexperienced outside of Chris Paul under a lot of pressure. So now, just going back to the Jazz, if the Jazz are healthy, I think the Jazz would be favorite in that series, and healthy being Conley and Mitchell both playing. I would probably pick the Jazz in a long series. But you know, I just feel that if you're the Suns, you've got so much to prove in the playoffs for a team that hasn't been there before.
Okay, one more question with all of these hypotheticals. Would you prefer the Lakers stay in the seventh seed and play the Warriors in this play-in game? Obviously, win and you're in. Very exciting. LeBron, Curry, I imagine it would do massive ratings. Or would you prefer the Lakers up to sixth, whoever of the Blazers, Mavs, slipping back into the play-in, and that we would get, hypothetically, a Clippers-Lakers battle for LA in the first round? That was a series we wanted last year. It obviously never happened. Nuggets coming back there in that series versus the Clips. Which one? Which one's more exciting to you as a basketball fan that cheers for all 30 teams in the league?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you sort of have a horse in every race, but no horse in any race at all, it's great. You can sort of really sit on the fence. I want to see Lakers-Warriors in a battle for that eighth spot. That's what I would love to happen, where it's like one of these teams misses out and we're going to have a one-game decider between, you know, two of the greatest players we've ever seen in the game in LeBron and Steph Curry. So that's what I want to see. I would love it for it to happen like that. Probably won't because of the way things are lined up right now. But if I could pick, I want that before I want Lakers-Clippers, because I just think, again, for this play-in tournament, that is the ideal scenario for the league. Even though, obviously, you know, for TV ratings, they would like the Lakers to go further into the playoffs. But for this do-or-die, winner-takes-all situation, give me Lakers-Warriors. I think it would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, look who it is. Hopefully cavity-free TK joining us. What's up, man?
Hey, how these bad riders looking, Skizzy?
Oh, looking real good, the Choppers. Oh,
you're like Ross in Friends when he had that, you know, the teeth glowing stuff on. That is shiny, man.
Oh, thank you. You know, first dentist checkup in what? I don't know, 16 months, 18 months, something like that. My mouth is so sore. Feels like I just got the deepest tissue massage exclusively on my gums, but feeling clean, feeling shiny. I saw somebody had tweeted at Tass, said, you got the best smile on no dunks. So I immediately scheduled a dentist appointment to go get a cleaning real quick. I got to get shined up here before the big happy hour tonight.
How was dentist A-Rod?
He was looking good, man. It was great to see him. I saw he's upgraded his dentist goggles now are Nike. So, you know, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool for Dr. A-Rod. Turning two there.
Baller. Baller. All right, well, we were just talking about some of last night's games and some of the hypothetical, you know, playoff matchups and who's in the plan and all that trade. But we got some more news here, and we'll throw this first one at you.
Oh, boy.
Victor Oladipo, season-ending surgery on his right quadriceps tendon. So he is out. He ended up playing what, four games for the Miami Heat, which is pretty baffling here. Now Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, he says that the tendon isn't ruptured like it was when he underwent a similar surgery in January 2019. That prior injury kept him out for like the calendar year, so hopefully this isn't as bad. But are you shocked at all by this news here, TK? Does it matter at all to the Heat moving forward? What impact does this have on his free agency? You know, have at it.
Well, I don't think it matters to the Heat going forward this season. They've been playing some pretty good basketball as of late, like we talked about on yesterday's Beach. Steppen, Jimmy Butler is having a really good season. The Heat seem to be the healthiest they have been the entire year. They're peaking at the right time. So, you know, they picked up Oladipo just as a little bit of insurance for guys like Goran Dragic, maybe Kendrick Nunn, even Jimmy Butler himself. But those guys are all playing well right now. They're all actually on the court. So Oladipo wouldn't have a massive role, especially considering those guys on the Heat were already there. They've got that continuity together going to the finals during that bubble season. From a free agency standpoint, you know, the silver lining, I would say, for Oladipo is he will probably get to pick where he wants to play, since he's not going to likely get quite as big of a deal as he would have been if he would be completely healthy going into this season. But man, quadriceps tendons seem to be a massive problem and something that really, really lingers. That was a similar injury that Kawhi Leonard had that ended his tenure with the Spurs, something that he still manages to this day. Tony Parker had something similar with the Spurs as well that, you know, I mean, he was at the end of his career. It didn't really end his career, but it made it harder for him to continue when he eventually went to the Charlotte Hornets. But I don't know. It feels like the quadriceps tendon is a problem. And, you know, Oladipo, it doesn't seem like completely had it managed this season. He still had a decent year from a counting standpoint, almost at 20 points per game. Only shot 40% from the field, though. 32 from three. He doesn't have the explosion that he used to have, obviously, and I guess that's part of why he would want to have this surgery now, to try and get back to a little bit closer to that all-NBA level that we've seen him at before, or at the very least, just a guy who's going to be able to continue to contribute and be a big part of a team rather than just a random role guy.
Yeah, and Oladipo, he turned down a two-year, $45 million dollar extension. You know, was wanted to get out of there, you know, if Houston didn't want to be locked up long-term there, not even that's all that long-term, but wanted to get to Miami, and he did, but again, only played four games. Would the Heat have been better off at this point, Lee, in keeping Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley, who were like the pieces moved for Oladipo, or was it worth the risk? And, you know, bring him in, see if he's got it, see if he can fight through injuries here, because you're obviously getting a better player if he is healthy than those guys. So, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, now that the injuries come into play, sure, you would redo the trade if you're the Heat, because Kelly Olynyk's a solid, you know, reliable big guy, can stretch a floor, and he knows their system. Avery Bradley didn't really play this season with Miami himself, so he's not really going to be missed. But yeah, Oladipo, you know, on the surface, you do the trade because, as you say, the upside of Oladipo is much greater than Kelly Olynyk. I mean, he's the type of guy who can go out there and have a 30-point performance in a game and in the playoffs. That's what they're hoping for. But, yeah, I think, you know, Oladipo's camp's probably now going, man, that $45 million 2 year was looking pretty good. I just don't sort of see. I mean, it's looking at the free agency class for next year. You know, guys like Lowry, DeRozan, I think Mike Conley's a free agent as well. So there's other guys sort of in his position. I mean, he's a bit of a you know, he's a bit of a combo guard himself, but given now he's had so many injuries that have knocked him out for so long, I just wonder what his value will be to a team and how much anyone's prepared to pay him, because I sort of think a long-term deal is probably unlikely at this point, just because he has these nasty injuries. So we'll see, but you know, that's it. Yeah, the Heat, I don't think really are going to miss him all that much, just because they didn't have him there for long enough to see an impact. So, you know, they'll be fine.
Final piece of news. We'll start with you, Lili. The Pistons signed Dwayne Casey to a contract extension. He had 2 years left on his original five-year deal there in Detroit, but will now be extended for one more season. You like or dislike this move by the Pistons management team there?
I'm very surprised that they would do this when he's got 2 years left on his deal. It sort of felt like he was, maybe on his way out. But I think they have done an okay job this season. I guess he's hit the goals that internally that the team wanted him to hit. Otherwise, and they're happy with the job he's done. Otherwise, I can't see why they would extend him. But good on him, because he's gone from a situation there in Toronto where the team was good, he leaves and they win a championship, to a team like Detroit where, it's not a destination. They've had a change of ownership too recently. Blake Griffin was there, Derek Rose was there. They basically just moved on from them. So you can sort of see, normally a team would be like, let's start completely fresh and hit the restart button with a new coach. But obviously they feel that Dwayne Casey is doing the right thing there. But the Pistons have been a story this season that, you've kind of overlooked. No one's really paid too much attention because they started off badly. I will say this, though. They have been competitive most of the season.
Yeah.
That's one thing I will say. They never, the Thunder have been awful for a lot this season. They just haven't been competitive. The Pistons have battled. So maybe that's the thing that they were hoping to see from Dwayne Casey, that despite the hand that he was dealt, he got his team to play at least competitively, even though, they've never been really, really close to the play-in tournament at any point during the season.
This is Casey's third year in Detroit. He went 41-41 in that first year, then 20-46 last year, and then 20-50 right now this year. What do you think, TK? This was a glowing press release. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. From Tom Gores, the owner, Troy Weaver, the GM, everybody just talking up Casey. So this feels to me, yeah, we love, at least this guy instills a culture. I saw it as a Raptors fan. There's no doubt. Of course, he moves on, or the Raptors decide to move on from him, and they bring in Nick Nurse, and it works out for everybody because they win a title. But he does, Dwayne Casey, get teams to play hard and be competitive. He's a good teacher, and his development record does speak for itself with the Raptors, and then even early here with a lot of these young guys on the Pistons, seeing some promising things. So is this what they're seeing? They're just he should be able to see this out. Because a lot of the times, you bring in these coaches, they got all these young squads, we suck, you lose a bunch of games, and then you're like, okay, bye. Your record sucks, so bye, we'll just bring in somebody else. But instead, they're doing the opposite of I guess it's sort of Brett Brown-like a little bit.
Totally.
When he was with the Sixers. You almost deserve this, and at least you are instilling this, what appears to be at least a culture, and to play hard for him. What do you think?
Just like with Brett Brown and the process Sixers, it shows up on the defensive end. The Pistons are 16th in defensive rating over the course of the season, which is kind of impressive considering they haven't had much to play for the majority of the season. Mm-hmm. You see the instant growth from Jeremy Grant just being empowered to have the ball in his hands and make some plays. And, the development already of Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, shout out to the Beef Stew. Both of those guys have been solid rookies. Jeremy Grant was a great guy to bring in. You see that little bit of growth right there just this season, despite the fact that the team hasn't really done anything. Yeah, why wouldn't you keep Dwayne Casey to build that culture, to bring you back to respectability? Kind of like what happened with the Raptors early on in their rebuild. They just started getting better, playing harder, developing some good habits, making it happen on the defensive end. Perhaps at some point you're going to have to upgrade to the next level of coach, just like the Raptors did. But there's definitely a benefit in bringing back these guys who have started the rebuild and who have, got guys on the right page and got them to be doing the right things, so that theoretically down the line 3 or 4 years from now, when you're ready to actually try and make some moves and try and win some games and get back to the playoffs, that sort of thing, I think perhaps that's when you make the next move. But bringing back Dwayne Casey, I think, is a great call from the Pistons.
Congrats to Coach Casey. We love him here on this show. We had him on the Starters a long time ago, and he is a class act. That's all you hear said about Dwayne Casey, but it's 100% true. It really is. He's one of the nicest men I've ever met, at least in the NBA universe there. So congrats to him on the extension.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Let's get to the real sicko shit, okay? It started as a joke. Obviously, we're talking all NBA teams, and oh man, there's so many good guys. There's going to be so many snubs left off that all-NBA third team. And I said, hey, let's just go deeper. Let's have an all-NBA fourth team, fifth team, sixth team, whatever. Just keep going. We could just like get all 450 players on an all-NBA team if we really wanted to. You just got to put the work in. So that's what I've done here, guys. I'm not going to put all 450 on teams, but I am going to go 10 teams deep, all yeah, NBA style, all right? Now, I want to start this off by saying I had to decide on a games played cutoff. I just have to. And I went with 45 games played. That, to me, feels right in this weird season. I generally like a higher percentage of games played when it comes to this stuff. I like around a 70% mark if you can get there. 45 out of 72... What is that? That's like 62, 63%. But this is a weird year. We've had COVID. We've had guys, of course, like resting or nursing injuries even longer because of this weird schedule. It's so action-packed. So I'm fine with 45 games played. So who does that get rid of right away? Well, there's no Anthony Davis. There's no Kevin Durant. There's no SGA. There's no Gordon Hayward. There's no Porzingis. Well, I got to say these guys because we're doing all the
team. Yeah, I mean, they would be on
put them into a team. Put them into a team. Put them into the didn't qualify team.
But here is the problem. LeBron James right now at 43 games played.
Uh-oh.
Right.
James Harden after playing last night, 43 games played. So here's what I'm going to do. All right. These are my rules. Tweet at me. Most people say don't tweet me. Don't at me. You can tweet at me. Go nuts. I don't care. I'm going to guess that LeBron James is going to play the final two games here. Lakers, of course, playing for something. I think he wants to get a few reps in here before a potential play-in game. Don't forget. Not a first-round series where he just always gives away game one. No. This could be like, oh, God, we might want to win this to get in the playoffs. Put me down for LeBron playing the last two games of the Lakers. That gets him to 45, gets him in the mix here for one of my all-NBA teams. Harden, on the other hand, I am going to just predict that he doesn't play the final two games. I think he'll sit one of them, coming up a little bit short. I'm also, of course, going to hold against him a little bit what happened in Houston. We can almost like pretend those games were not really games played. I forget how many ended up playing for the Rockets.
Was it seven or eight, something like that?
Yeah. So, again, just for the sake of this, I'm saying Harden is not going to make my cutoff of 45 games played. All right, so he's not going to be on an all-NBA team. I think James Harden is one of the definitely top 50 players in the league, more like top 10. But for the sake of this, he won't be there, okay?
I think you're right there because they have a back-to-back, too, in the last two games.
That's right,
so
Lili.
I think he doesn't play in both of those.
Okay, 45 games played, very important. All right, so let's get to it. And JD's going to help me out. For everybody in the stream team here, he's going to flash my teams up at the bottom of the screen here. All-NBA first team. This wasn't all that hard. I went with the guards being Luka Doncic and Steph Curry. My forwards are Kawhi Leonard, who is just criminally underrated in this league. It's okay. He's awesome. Giannis, and then Jokic. Yeah, you're noticing there, I didn't put Embiid as a forward on my All-NBA team because that is stupid. All right? It's dumb, and I'm not doing it. Second team, Damian Lillard is a guard. Kyrie Irving is also a guard, and I'll get to him in a second. Jimmy Butler and Julius Randle are my forwards, and then Joel Embiid is, of course, because he's an MVP candidate there. He's going to finish second. He is on the second All-NBA team at the center position. You know, the position he plays 100% of the time.
how many games has Jimmy Butler played, just out of interest?
I don't have it in front of me, but he's over the 45. Yeah, he's got enough lately, okay? Right. I mean, you got basketball reference. You can fire it up there, too.
You're going to go 50 players, and you're keeping James Harden off because he didn't play, like, two games on your made-up rules?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You can't discredit the 8 games he played in Houston as a complete joke. I mean,
3-5. 3-5 in those 8 games. How many wins do the Rockets have?
Yeah. No, come on. It's my team, my rule. 45 is the cutoff. I told you that, all right? So I think most people will say, what the hell's going on with Kyrie Irving? Because I think I have him higher than almost anybody else out there that I've heard do their All-NBA predictions. I think it's a joke that he's not on some people's teams when it comes to All-NBA. I think it's embarrassing. He's averaging 27-5-6. He's played 52 games, so you can't, you know, he's played enough games. A lot of these guys are around that mark. His shooting splits are 50 from the floor lately, 39.7 from three, 92.2 at the line. So it's the most efficient he's ever been. He's been an All-NBA player before. And the only reason people don't want him there, let's be honest, is because he has taken time off, and it hasn't really been because of a physical injury. And here's my pushback to this. All we do, it feels like, when a DeMar DeRozan or a Kevin Love or other NBA players rightfully come out and talk about how important mental health is to themselves moving forward, to everybody in this world, and everybody applauds it. Yes, yes, preach. Good, you're right. We should be talking about mental health like it is, you know, just the same way we talk about a physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Kyrie or other players appear to, again, what happens is it's personal, so we don't get the full story, but I am jumping to conclusions that at times it is a mental health break, for whatever the reason is for that person, that then we shit on him. Well, oh, geez, he's just gone. Well, what's going on? Well, which one is it? Do you want to applaud these guys for being advocates for mental health and, you know, taking care of your mind just as much as your body, or do you not? Because this is what happens with Kyrie, in my opinion, because I think he's incredible. I think he's been the best Nets player this year, and I know that will open up some eyes, because I think he's just, you know, of course, playing more than Durant helps, and then Harden missing 20 games there too. So I got Kyrie on the All-NBA squad. I got him as high as second, but I am shocked, Trey, that I see a lot of people not even having him on their legit, you know, All-NBA first, second, or third teams. I think that's, I don't know, I just think they're holding something against him because they don't like him.
I think you're totally right. There have been multiple times this year where Kyrie has refused to speak to media, and that's the kind of thing that people seem to remember. Kyrie Irving has been the most consistent part of the Nets, and they have been one of the best teams in the league. I completely disagree with your James Harden take, but I'm loving this Kyrie take, so I will be adding you after this show.
Okay, great. Let's go to All-NBA third team. Look, this is where it does start to get actually difficult, especially with the guards. I do have LeBron on the team. You know, I am assuming he's going to play these final two games. So he gets the 45 games played mark, so he's in there. And it just feels also icky not to have him on an All-NBA team. I get it, Trey. Same could be said with Harden. But he's coming up a little short for me. Paul George, my other forward. Rudy's the center. And then the guards, my God, there are like 10 guards to pick from. That's why we're going all NBA 10 teams deep here. I went with Chris Paul and I went with Bradley Beal. I really got down to like trying to decide between a Suns player in Chris Paul or Devin Booker, and then a Wizards player in Russell Westbrook or Bradley Beal. I went with these two. The best part about this is it's not going to matter because these other guys are just going to be on the next team or the next team. So they're going to be in the mix here. But it is a difficult decision. And I actually don't envy people that really are filling out their All-NBA balance when it comes to this third team guards. Trey, who would be your two? I mean, you may not have Kyrie, I guess, as high as I had, but and I guess you're assuming, or I'm assuming you're putting Harden in as well, but like, it's tough to leave some of these guys not on an All-NBA team after the incredible seasons they've had.
Oh, yeah, and Skeets, just to circle back here real quick, James Harden will have played 140 more minutes than LeBron James so far this season. So he's played more basketball, but it hasn't specifically been the games. This is going to be your biggest bugaboo here. I don't know. I mean, you're exactly right. The call is between the Suns and the Wizards. Are you going Chris Paul? Are you going Devin Booker? Are you going Russell Westbrook? Or are you going Bradley Beal? I kind of think I would go Westbrook over Beal, if I'm being honest here, because the Wizards got a lot better when Bradley Beal had the ball less. You know, Russell Westbrook started up in his usage rate, clocking all those triple-doubles, and that's when the Wizards turned around, when Bradley Beal took the smallest backseat to Russell Westbrook and the Wizards became a Russ kind of team. That's when they took off, so I think I'm going Westbrook over Beal.
Okay, I mean, look, I'm not going to be angry with that. The guy is scoring 31 points per game,
sure.
though. I mean,
sure.
it's tough. Yeah, you're splitting hairs. Lee, you're a Beal guy. Do I have this one right? Is he an All-NBA third-team guy?
Sure, yeah. Sure. But honestly, how much fun has it been watching Westbrook over these last 6 weeks?
He's Even been incredible. Lee doesn't talk about Bradley Beal anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, because no Buzz Beal. The Wizards at 17-32, it was like, you know, what a complete waste this season is. And now, largely due to Westbrook's just incredible play, by getting these triple-doubles, they're in the play-in tournament. So I'm
Not
definitely
yet.
Pulling... Are they? I thought they locked
the
it up.
Bulls are
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Wizards
okay.
are still going to blow it.
No. The Wizards have to lose the rest of their games. Bulls have to win the rest of their games, which is
right.
Could
right. I'm. I mean, it could come down to Hornets and the Wizards for that plane, and I'm not sure because they've both been so much fun to watch this season. But I think I'll be pulling for Westbrook because I want to just see crazy chaos, and I desperately want to see somehow the Nets and the Wizards in the first round.
Okay.
I
know you do. I'm going to keep moving.
No,
we don't need another
going,
podcast
yeah.
to go
yeah.
off the rails here. You've
yeah.
done enough of that this week. All right.
Okay, here's a good argument, though, from JFK, not that JFK, in the stream team, who says, Westbrook wasn't good for half the season. Beal was good the whole season. That's a pretty solid point because, unfortunately for Russell Westbrook, the first half of the season, when the Wizards were pretty bad, yeah, he was playing back then.
This is the problem with these, really all the awards, right? That happens. Like, you just forget about the first 6 to 8 weeks of the
yep.
season. And
mm-hmm.
you, like, it's a lot easier to remember the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season where, like, a guy like Westbrook is dominant. That is the truth. That's helped a guy like Jimmy Butler's case, of course, too. Like, he's just been incredible over the last little bit. And you're like, oh, well, he wasn't playing all that well early on. Well, doesn't matter. Timing is everything with
Timing's
these things.
Timing's everything.
But it's a great point. That's why I got Beal in there. Okay, so All-NBA fourth team. It's never been done. Oh, my God. Okay, so, well, you see it there. It's the two guards I was debating from those two teams where I put Chris Paul and Beal. Well, it's the other ones. I'm going Devin Booker. Obviously, you know, accrediting him here for my All-NBA fourth team because of the Sun's success. He's been really, really solid. Yes, his numbers sort of went down from those crazy scoring numbers he was doing, especially in the bubble there, but that's fine. He's become a better player alongside Chris Paul. That's helped. And then Westbrook, we talked about him enough. Forwards, I went Jason Tatum, and I went Zion Williamson for my All-NBA fourth squad. And then the center, this was the easiest pick of my All-NBA fourth team, probably. It's Bam Adebayo. He might find a way into the actual All-NBA first, second, or third teams. Like, obviously, that third team probably is where he would fall, depending if people get really sneaky with that Embiid move and putting him to forward, because then Gobert probably slides up to the second team, then Bam's in there on the third team, so we will see. But I got him on my fourth team. Any issues with that one, guys, or we can keep moving here?
Oh,
we got a lot
nice,
of teams
man.
Still.
That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a nice
I
first
like
snub
That
list.
One feels good, right?
Yeah.
That one feels good.
That's really nice.
It's probably when we get to the All-NBA fifth team where you start
go.
Going, really? Really, are we doing this? There are still great guards to pick from. I got no problem with Trae Young and Zach LaVine
nice.
As my backcourt of my All-NBA fifth team. Trae Young, of course, has the Hawks in a home court advantage position right now. He's actually gone really under the radar, I feel like, this year. There's not been a ton of talk about him, but the numbers are solid. Zach LaVine, I think he has to be as high as this when you're going this deep. There are other guards, Mitchell, Simmons, you know, we'll get to them, but 27.5 points per game from Zach LaVine, shooting over 50% from the floor, over 41% from three. Just to put this into perspective a little bit here, Zach LaVine, like, is like a supercharged Klay Thompson right now, this year. Throw out the defense. Klay Thompson is an unbelievable defender. Zach LaVine, you know, still has lots of room to grow on that end, but
yeah.
Offensively, like, those are what I'm getting at is, like, those are, like, again, like just amped up Clay-like numbers from, in terms of the amount of three-point attempts in a game, Lili, obviously the percentage, of course, scores more than a guy like Clay has over his, like, let's say last 3 years where Clay, you know, took an average and stuff like that. That 41% from three on, like, eight attempts, that is Clay,
mm-hmm.
like, that's amazing to me, so... You know, deserving of an All-NBA fifth team nod. All right, everybody.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Everybody's nodding.
Yeah, one of the worst timed missings of the season, Zach LaVine, missing almost 4 weeks as the Bulls traded for Nick Vucevic. It completely submarined the season. But if you're looking especially at the first half, LaVine was on fire. I mean, he's on par with me for Trae Young, even Bradley Beal, the way he's able to get to his shots. Just an unstoppable scorer, except for maybe in the last 30 seconds of the game where I feel like he was 1-for-10 on pull-up jumpers this season. But he made some incredible strides this year. Close to a 50-40-90 guy while putting up 27 a game. Impressive stuff.
Huge. The forwards, this was fun. DeMar DeRozan. I think a lot of people out there still think DeMar DeRozan is a shooting guard. He's not. He's a power forward, basically, on the Spurs, which is really weird. 70% of his minutes are at the power forward position. And then he doesn't even play guard anymore. Although he's like a bit of a, you know, they run things through him, of course. He's DeMar DeRozan, so he's got to get a lot of assists. He's a bit of a point forward. And he's had a really good year. I got him in here on my All-NBA 15. I teased this one earlier. Sabonis, he's a lock for the All-NBA 15. 20-12-7. He's going to be, in my opinion, one of the true biggest snubs from the All-NBA first, second, or third teams there. And he won't make it, and he probably won't even be deserving, but he'll have to be at the top of the snub list. And then my center. Oh, felt good, right? We've talked about him a lot because of the big beef segments and this guy just bullying all these little puny pretend centers we have in this league. It's Jonas Valanciunas for the Grizzlies. I'm slipping him in here as the fifth best, I guess, center. 17-13, you know, if you round up a little bit there, but a top 15 player efficiency rating. We talked about him a lot, it feels like, for a guy that doesn't get a lot of credit elsewhere, probably, across the NBA media landscape. He's been good lately. JV, I was happy to put him here.
I think he's been awesome this season for the Grizzlies and a big part of why they're in the position they're in, because he has been a bully at both ends of the floor. You could probably even put him ahead of Bam, I think, for who's had a better season.
Come on.
Hey, listen, Bam.
Slow down.
Bam, I know JV wasn't an all-star. But Bam, remember, he wasn't really sort of
Bam's
all that much.
Bam's numbers are better than last year.
I know that. But I'm just saying, in terms of the impact he's had on his team, I think Valanciunas this season, you know, you could make an argument for him to be in the most improved conversation. I just think he's been that good for the Grizzlies.
Crazy.
So, but it's the Grizzlies, and it is. It's like people aren't watching them outside of Ja Morant, and I just think that he's been great. So I'm glad he's at least on the fifth team.
Okay,
there
good.
Squeezed in.
Yes. I was.
Give me Capella over JV. I mean, they're pretty similar cases, to be quite honest, but Capella is leading the league in rebounding. He's the only guy who plays defense on the Hawks, and their team is better. I think Capella has a bit of a chance over Bam as well, if I'm being completely honest, but I think he blows JV out of the water here.
Oh, then you won't like who's the center on the All-NBA 6 team, which will be ironic. Let's get to it, JD. I put Vooch there as the center.
Yeah, baby.
Don't worry, Capella's coming up next. But yeah, I hear you on that, Capella. I was moving him around even up into the last minute here. But I got Vooch as the center on the All-NBA 6 team. My forwards, Middleton and Harris, because they're the same player.
Yeah, sure.
They're like they're going to go into the hall of very good. They're really good players. They're obviously been very efficient, both of them, this year. So they're deserving of this spot. And then the guards, I went Donovan Mitchell. It feels criminally low to me, if I'm being honest, but then we just went through all those guards, and I don't know, I struggle to, like, bump him ahead of some of them. I know the Jazz have a better record than a lot of the guys I mentioned, but I think he's been hurt here by missing some games lately. It would have been different if he's probably putting up some 25, 30-point games the last little bit, so maybe that's why he's sliding. And then Ben Simmons, I mean, this is a huge nod, of course, to his defense. As we start getting into these deeper teams, I do start giving some love to some defensive players a little bit more, as you'll see, but Simo there, Lee, coming on the sixth team with Donovan, Middleton, Harris, and Vooch. All right.
Yeah, I think it's funny that you've got Mitchell and Simmons on the same team there. The rivals,
ooh,
the rookie of the year rivals.
The rivals, and then you got Middleton and Harris, the same player, and Vooch.
Yeah.
Okay. All by himself on Vooch Island. My favorite comments that we're seeing in the stream team are these. The sixth team would smack the fifth team. I love it. Like, it's a real game between these two.
Yeah. Hey, look, somebody out there. Hell, we should talk to our guy, King of the Fourth Quarter. Can he beat them? I don't know. Make these teams and play them
awesome.
Against each other in 2K or something. Let's see who really is the best squad. Okay, All-NBA seventh team. We got a few to go here still. The guards, Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown. Forwards, Brandon Ingram, Michael Porter Jr., And then the center there is Clint Capella, who I do agree, Trey, could be your All-NBA fifth or even sixth center, but we'll slide him into seventh. He has had a dominant year, though. And, a couple of these names I started to, like, almost surprise myself a little bit. Michael Porter Jr., I mean,
he's good.
He's got to be in the mix for a top 50 player, so I don't care if you're throwing him on the seventh, eighth, ninth, or whatever team, but he's in here. Ingram, quietly, a really, good year in terms of scoring the ball, but Pelicans disappointed. All the attention went to Zion, and rightfully so. But he's still good, man. And then Jaylen Brown, oh, man, what a horrible injury. Mm. Awesome, awesome first half of the season, though. Tatum is a star, but Jaylen Brown, at many times this season, looked like the best player on the Celtics, especially what he brings defensively. And then Drew Holiday, he believes he's the best defensive player in the league. He believes he's like Gary Payton 2.0. And I do too, at times, for sure. So, Drew Holiday, All-NBA 17. That's a good squad there for an All-NBA 17. Like, look at the NBA is in good hands, man, when that's the All-NBA 7th team.
That's a league pass talent. All-Stars team right there. People Ooh. Are going to be hyping up this 7th team. Put them on the cover of Slam Magazine. The 7th best players at each of their position. These guys are awesome. I love it. Okay. I'm hyped for this team, Skeetsy.
Okay, good. It's starting to get even crazier now. We're up to the All-NBA 8th team. Again, I still think we have really good guards here in consideration. No. Oh, no.
Repeat.
That was my fault. That's my fault.
Holiday or Aaron Holiday.
John Morant. John Morant. Apologies, JD. That's my bad there if you want to edit that. My guards for the All-NBA 8th team are John Morant, Mike Conley, and then the forwards are Pascal Siakam, Draymond Green, and Karl-Anthony Towns. A very weird team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just with Siakam, don't drop a homer card on me, okay? I know he's had a really weird, disappointing. He obviously missed a ton of game winners and stuff like that. Very Zach LaVine-like in a weird way. He couldn't hit a three to save his life, unlike Zach LaVine. But Siakam still averaged 22-7-5. So if this was a garbage season, a terrible, bad season for this guy, then okay, maybe that's a sign of good things to come. That's still a damn good year. And he's still in the mix here for one of the All-NBA 10 teams. So I got him here on the 8th team. There it is. Ja Morant, Conley, Siakam, Draymond, of course, because of defense. Karl-Anthony Towns has played 47 games. This is probably hilariously low for a guy like Kat. But, it was a season. Yeah. It was a nightmare season from the jump with obviously what happened in the offseason. But still 25-10-5, Guy Lee. You love Kathmandu.
Yeah, he's performed when he's been out there playing, but it's just been a pretty bad season that never really got going there in Minnesota. But man, we've got three Jazz and the first Raptor on the 8th team, and the Raptors have kind of stunk, and the Jazz are the best team in the league. So, Skeetsy, how many more Raptors are you going to squeeze in there? We're going to see a Freddie Van Vliet there.
You're not. Ooh. Yeah, I held back.
Kyle, not going to have a little you see if you can slip Kyle into the 10th team.
Man, he's giving up on this season. Kyle's done. He's gone. God, I miss you already, buddy. All right. So not too many. If you have qualms at this point, something wrong with you. That's on you at this point. Yeah, all right. All-NBA 9th team. De'Aaron Fox, CJ McCollum, Jeremy Grant gets in, baby. Had to slip him in on one of these teams. I went with Bojan Bogdanovic for the Jazz. Not having as great a season as he did last year when he was like a 20-point-per-game scorer, but he's turned it on, as of late. And then, and I'm also, of course, awarding his team success a little bit, and he is important. And then DeAndre Ayton as the big guy for the Suns there at the center position.
Nice.
McCollum, I was moving around until the final second here before we went live. I was confused as where to put him because he was averaging like 27 points per game before his injury. He was playing incredible. And then he's come back, and of course he started slow coming back from the injury, but now he's got it going again, and like, he's damn good. I love CJ McCollum. I just have so much faith in a guy like that at the end of a game that he can get you a bucket. So this feels right to me, missing a huge chunk of time, but having played enough games because he started the season there, and now he's played over the last little bit. So he's there. Fox had a great year on a crappy Kings team. Blah, 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 blah. Final team. We'll wrap this up, and then we'll get to some snubs. All-NBA 10th team. I just gave it to the Hornets backcourt. LaMelo and Terry Rozier. There you go. Terry Rozier, 20-point-per-game scorer. LaMelo, going to win Rookie of the Year, very, very likely. It came down to a lot of guys who I'll get to for these final spots. I went with Caris LeVert as the forward, John Collins as the other forward, and then Jarrett Allen as the center. So there it is. Wow. 10 All-NBA teams. Now let's get to the snubs. That's all everybody cares about. All right. Who did I snub? Well, you said a couple Raptors, Lili. Let's throw them in there. Van Vliet, Lowry, okay, whatever. I think they're both better than a lot of players that we had on these lists, but brutal season. I don't even want to like award them for anything. I almost didn't even have Siakam there, but I had to convince myself to put him on. But they're in the mix. Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles, sure. Snubs. Malcolm Brogdon, snub. Colin Sexton, probably the highest point per game scorer that I don't have in the mix on the Cavs. There it is. He's a snub. Derrick Rose has got to be a snub at this point, especially the way he's played over the last 6 weeks or so. Anthony Edwards, I said, if I got LaMelo in there, yeah, sure, you can make a case for Anthony Edwards. Another Knicks, actually two more Knicks players. RJ Barrett, I really, really was close to having him in there as like one of the forwards near the end of these teams. And sure, you could. Nerlens Noel, oh, I love. But I couldn't do it, Trey, because you would have mocked me until the end of time. Jakob Poeltl as a center. Jakob Poeltl could have got some center love, but didn't. And then finally, I got a couple more names, and then you guys can throw out anyone I missed. Tim Hardaway Jr. was consideration for the 10th team. Mikal Bridges for the Suns, who's been great. And just for the stream team. Everybody drop it in the stream team right now. All caps locks, exclamation baby. Dort was in consideration.
Drop your dorts.
So there it is. My all NBA 10 teams with snubs. True sicko shit.
So good.
Yeah, but anyway, who am I missing? Who am I missing?
The stream team is saying the biggest snub, Jordan Clarkson.
Okay, yep.
Did you say you got to be a starter to make one of these?
No. He was inconsiderate. Like, he is, if I had done this at the All-Star break, yeah, he's in. He's one of these ones where, like, timing has not helped him. You know, I know he just had the big 41-point game.
41.0 assists.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, he's gunning away. He's getting his right now with the backcourt being out. He was, him and Ingles almost like sort of like, I was torn between the two of them, so I guess they canceled each other out. But he's a snub, no doubt. Who else? Anyone else?
I'm trying to remember any of the other 400 players you didn't.
I guess I nailed it.
Where's Tyrese Halliburton? Where's Chimezie Metu?
No, get out of here. Now you're being
Wiggins.
Silly.
How about Wiggins?
Wiggins is a good snub. That's a name I didn't say yet. Yeah, sure. Sure. I'm not angry with that.
This is the hardest game of what about this guy of all time to pull out these deep cuts.
Yeah.
Some deep cuts. Thaddeus Young, maybe at the All-Star break he's getting on the 10th team.
Come on, even that's going too far. Get out of here.
What about Zubats? Zubats has been solid for the Clippers.
Thank God you guys didn't do this.
Well, Skeety, I know you did your top 10 teams there, so I decided to come with something as well, and I'm going to do the top 20 candidates for Coach of the Year.
Oh, my God.
Go
ahead. Do you have a list in front of you?
No, I just made that up on the spot. But while we're here.
That's great. All right. So tweet at me, at J.U. Skeets. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Do you agree with Trey, first off, that James Harden, let's say he only plays 44 games, he's got to be in the mix. What do you think about that? Do I have Capella too low? Should I have more Raptors in the mix? Do I have enough Jazz players in the mix? Let's hear it all. And, you know, keep going is what I say. Somebody do the All-NBA 11th team. Somebody do the 12th team. Just, like, get a chain going in the YouTube comments. Have some fun with it. It's embarrassing how much actually effort I put into that. I'm not going to lie. Where I started, like, had to catch myself going, holy shit, none of this matters. What am I doing?
Can you
Why
pop
am
up
I
the
contemplating
one
CJ McCollum where he goes? Yeah. Like,
pop up the one again for 9th team. Because once that 9th team showed up and it was Bojan Bogdanovic actually typed out, I was like, oh, man. This
Well, I couldn't just put B. Bogdanovic. That's the problem.
You can't do it. That just looks ridiculous.
I had Bogdan in the mix. He was in contention.
Sounds like you were Andy Dufresne crawling through the tunnel at the end of Shawshank Redemption there, where you like you couldn't go back. You had to just keep on going to the end. And
absolutely. Well, I got to the 7th team, and I was going to stop.
Nope.
But then it's hilarious. You start going, man, I don't got Ja Morant on a team? Like, all right, let's just keep going. Oh, God. Okay, there it is. Very Hopefully good. That was fun for some of you out there.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
I'm piggybacking off my man Tass on what you need to know today with Tweet of the Night, because Nick DePaula coming through with this tweet last night. He tweeted, wow, Blake Griffin has McLovin 35s on tonight with his own Hawaii ID info. There's the close-up. Enhanced, JD. Nice work. Yeah, we're looking at it here on the stream team. Blake's McLovin kicks, TK. Like, have you ever seen these? I mean, I assume not, but what do you think of these?
I love them. Super Bad. It's on my list of the funniest movies of the past 20 years. Obviously, Blake Griffin is a comedy fan. I like the Jordan 35. You throw a little bit of Hawaii rainbow in there. These things are beautiful, especially, I guess you would call that. I guess they were matching the Nets uniforms last night, but that's sort of a Carolina blue. Always a great color. Makes sense with a Jordan. Yeah, two thumbs up from me.
All right. Lee, what do you think of these McLovins?
Yeah, I wonder what inspired them, though, to just go with the whole McLovin thing. Like, was... you know, has Blake got some connection there to it or something? I'm not sure. But, you know, if you're going to go in, you may as well do it all the way like that. So, yeah, they're great. What is he going to do with them now? Is he wear them again, give them away, have another set there, sell them? I don't know.
Probably it's pretty slick, like the customized ID there for Blake, right? That's all his information.
Nick Griffin with his signature. Brilliant stuff.
That's good. Yeah, attention to detail there. All right, let's see your thumbs. Thumbs up or thumbs down there in the stream team right now for Blake's McLovin's that he was rocking last night. Okay, pick 'em results. Brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Celtics-Cavs game. Boston was favored by 9.5 on the road in Cleveland. Oh my goodness. The Cavs straight up win. Kevin Love back with a vengeance. He won Woboy last night.
He's back!
quick trivia question. Can you name the three Kevins to have won a Woboy this year?
Kevin Porter Jr.?
Yep.
Did he get one for that 50?
Yeah.
What other Kevin? Who else is...
Yeah.
The other one's a lot easier.
Oh, God, Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. KD, Kevin Porter Jr., and now Kevin Love. Taking Woboy last night. Anyway, Cavs won, so that's a nice victory for Trey, who goes to 7-1 here in the month of May, with only two nights left for this short pick'em battle. Lee, you got the victory. So you've taken the lead over Tassie. You're not in last. You're 3-5. Tass took the Celtics. He's 2-6. I took the Celtics. I'm 5-3. So tonight's game, Philly, Miami, Philadelphia, favored by 1.5 points on the road. Keep playing really well. One of the hottest teams in the league. Probably the hottest team in the East, right? Got the Blazers in the West, Heat in the East. But Philly's trying to lock up that number one seed. Where do you go with this one, Lili? You like Philly to win by two or more, or the Heat to get this done?
I feel the Heat are going to grind this one out and get the victory. Yeah, Heat. That's it.
Yeah, Heat.
Oh, I don't know.
yeah, the Heat are balling right now. Embiid is listed as questionable. He's got a non-COVID illness. I'm going Miami as well. I'm trying to pick the winner. I don't know if Lee's still trying to pick losers at this point, but I think Miami will at least keep it close, and I think they'll probably win this one.
Lee only either talks for 10 minutes straight about something or 10 seconds. There's no in between with this guy. All right, so you're taking Miami as well,
yeah,
TK?
Yeah.
All right, let's find out who Tass is going with.
Ah, yeah, looking forward to this one on TNT. I will be keeping half an eye on it during our charity fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Research on Thursday night. Status of both stars, Embiid and Butler, is questionable, so I'm going to go with the team that's playing a little bit better ball, Miami rolling into the postseason, and I like the fact that the Sixers have won the first two games of this season series. Miami's got to get one of them. Give me Miami.
All right, we got three of you guys taking Miami. I'll swerve. I don't think I really have anything to lose. Tass, can you even catch me? I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, I'll take Philly. Let's live a little. I'll take the Sixers to cover by little, 2 points. That's right. That's right. Everybody else take a Miami to cover the spread there. They are getting 1.5 points. All right. Let's call it there. What a show. My goodness. We got another one to get ready for tonight. Tassie said it. It's the NBA happy hour. Charity drive. Raising money for a great cause. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Our goal, $2,601. We'll get this started live on YouTube at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I'll tell you what, we're praying for a wedgie number 50 to happen while we're doing tonight's show. We're going to play some games, have some drinks. Actually going to go through a few No Dunks awards. Yeah, it's our own awards. Are we dressing up for this thing? You guys want to wear a suit and a bow tie or something like that, Lili? You want to wear a flashy shirt? What are you going to do?
Maybe. I don't have a bow tie.
It's a charity drive. I feel like we should be dressed up a little bit.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I'll see what I can dig out. I haven't dressed up for so long, I don't remember how to.
Wouldn't it be nice, though? Wouldn't that be a nice feeling? Put on some slacks?
Yeah. Well, I'll probably have shorts on no matter what. But upstairs I might be looking a bit nicer. So, yeah, I'll see what I've got.
Do you own a top hat?
No, I don't think so.
You're saying, you're thinking so much about it as if you used to have one and now you might not have one.
Yeah, you don't know where to put it.
I might have had one for comical purposes. I'm not sure. I'll have a look up in the attic. It rained the other day, so I've got to check the attic anyway. So while I'm up there.
Maybe you've used the top hat as a bucket for your leaking attic. Go check that out.
No, because actually, in the house, with kids with their dress ups and that, sometimes you have things like that.
True. So you were doing some coin tricks on the beach yesterday. Maybe you got a top hat, you pull a rabbit out. Put it on our laps like we're at a Warriors game. All right. Well, if you had a top hat, please wear one tonight.
See if I can find one.
I'll be wearing a mesh tank top and a robe, personally. Oh, wow. That's how I dress up.
Okay. Well, very cool. All right. I got to figure out what I'm wearing now. But anyway, join us tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern for the No Dunks Happy Hour Charity Drive. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to The Athletic. You will not regret it. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. All right, guys. Enjoy your day. See you boys tonight for the charity drive. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, in the year 2021, most people have top hats for comical purposes, not for style purposes. They have fallen out of favor a little bit here, but if you've got one, usually good for a joke.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.